Call a meeting to order if you'll please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on the agenda this morning is a presentation by Jan Viss and Nancy Newberry in proclaiming the month of March 2006 as Social Worker Recognition Month. That's a mouthful.
You did well. Good morning, Chairman Simon and members of the board. My name is Jan Viss, and I'm an assistant director with the Community Services Agency, and I oversee the Child and Family Services Division.
And I'm Nancy Milbury, Chief of the Children's System of Care for Behavioral Health and Recovery Services.
And today we are here to observe March 2006 as Social Worker Recognition Month. So the social work profession developed from a common sense or a common concern for humanity, a belief in the dignity and worth of each individual, and a commitment to promoting the welfare of the individual served. Social workers provide the front line of defense in a system of services aimed at protecting children from neglect and abuse, as well as the frail, elderly, and other dependents from neglect and abuse. Social workers provide a variety of services in behavioral health settings, hospitals, schools, corrections, community organizations, child welfare organizations, and adult services. Social work requires the skill and knowledge necessary for the performance of multiple diverse roles, including, but not limited to, a therapist, a case manager, educator, nurturer, advocate, and administrator. Social work requires the ability to establish relationships of trust with the individual served, to accurately evaluate individual and family functioning, to provide crisis intervention as needed, to provide inpatient and outpatient treatment services to enable and facilitate productive change in individuals and families. Social work also requires the ability to engage systems and organize communities to promote social justice. Social work honors the right of each person to have a life of dignity based on a sense of self-worth, self-determination, and personal responsibility. This morning, we want to acknowledge the various agencies and organizations that provide social work in our community. We would ask that all social work agency representatives that are here to stand while we announce the agency name.
Children's Crisis Center, Respite Child Care. Community Services Agency, Child and Family Services Division. District Attorney's Office, Victim Services Program, Victims of Crime. Havens Women's Center of Stanislaus for Domestic Violence Services. Counseling services are provided to children and their families at the following agencies: Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Center for Human Services, Sierra Vista Child and Family Services. Social workers provide a variety of services in foster family agencies. These include Aspira, Creative Alternatives, Families First, Koinonia, Nepenthean, Sierra Vista Child and Family Services. Social workers are an integral part of elder and dependent adult services, the Area Agency on Aging, Community Services Agency Adult Division, DRAIL, Disability Resource Agency for Independent Living, and Miller's Place, Daycare for Adults. Social workers are involved in providing housing and employment services to families, including Community Housing and Shelter Services, and Community Services Agency StanWorks Division. Social workers also provide services in the medical field, including Community Hospice, Evergreen Rehabilitation Care Center, Health Services Agency, Satellite Dialysis, Satellite Healthcare, Valley Caregivers, which is respite care for caregivers, and the Visiting Nurses Association. Social workers are involved in adoption services, the Aspira Foster Family Agency, Community Services Agency, Child and Family Division, Family Connections, Christian Adoption Agency, and Sierra Vista Child and Family Services. Do you want to do your business?
As you can see, social workers provide a wide variety of services in our community. Recently, one of our social workers received the California State Foster Parent Association Social Worker of the Year Award. This was presented to Kathleen, who's here today. Kathleen is a social worker for the Community Services Agency, where her responsibility is to respond to child abuse referrals at night and on weekends. And she's one of the numerous quiet heroes that serve our community every day in social work. Thank you, all of you, for the service that you provide. Today, the proclamation will be received by Margaret Tynan, and she is the director of the California State University Master of Social Work Program, Ann Danhoff, who is the current chair for the Stanislaus County National Association of Social Workers, and Eric Schwarzentraub, who is the Service Employees International Union 535 officer, and Eric and other representatives of SEIU 535 are here today, too, to support social workers.
Good morning. I can't carry all those. There's three of them. So on behalf of the board, first of all, I want to thank all of the employees and groups that were named this morning in the resolution for being here. If they disappear after this presentation, we won't have anyone in the audience left. So I won't repeat everything that's said in the resolution because it was said while they were at the podium. But I want you to know that hopefully you'll run across this resolution somewhere on a wall, somewhere in a building, and it truly reflects the board's appreciation for all that you do for people and for all that you do for the county. And I think most of it's contained in the first paragraph that says, social work developed from a common concern for humanity, a belief in the dignity and worth of each individual, a commitment to promoting the welfare of individuals served, and a dedication to working to promote social justice. And I think if you all read the rest of that, you'll find that it pretty much follows that line and follows the fact that we do appreciate your being here and appreciate the work that all of you have done. So on behalf of the board, I'd like to present this resolution to you. There's one for you, you bet, and one for you. Now, would you care to say a few words?
On behalf of the social work program at Cal State Stanislaus, I'd like to thank the board very much for this recognition.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Thank you. We'll wait a few seconds for the mass exit here. There goes your audience. Yeah. Okay, the next item on the agenda is our honor to have an Employee Service Award, and we'll begin with 30 years service awards, and Larry Howe is here to introduce the recipient of that award. Larry?
Good morning, Chairman Simon, board members. My name is Larry Howe. I'm the County Auditor Controller. Before I tell you about Ray Rasmussen, I would like to acknowledge some special guests that we have in the audience today. We have retired Audit Controller Bob Hubbard and Wally Morrow. And currently, I'd like to say that Ray Rasmussen has served under five different Audit Controllers over the span of 30 years. Ray began his career full-time with the county in December 18, 1975. He was promoted to an accountant two in September 1977. In August 1987, his position was reclassed to an accountant three. And finally, his position was reclassed again to a manager two, which he currently holds today. During the course of Ray's employment with Stanislaus County, he successfully stayed abreast of the constant changes in property tax legislation, which is no small feat. Many of you may have read in the Modesto Bee about the challenges the county has had and has faced handling property taxes over the years. As we read about Proposition 13, AB 8 factors, ERAF 1, ERAF 2, negative bailout, Proposition 218, and the triple flip, a lot of us wondered, what is all that stuff? And better yet, who has to figure out all of that legislation and make it work? With some help from staff, that task has fallen to Ray. This, along with the calculation of school bonds, implementation of property tax sharing agreements, redevelopment agreements, and placing direct assessments on the tax roll, Ray has kept busy along with his staff handling all of that data over the last 30 years. Ray has also been instrumental in the development of legislation and the county's efforts to correct the effects of the negative bailout and the allocation of property taxes following the passage of Proposition 13. In 1978, the property tax roll was approximately $100 million. It's now over $330 million. When Ray started in the county prior to Proposition 13, the division received approximately 2,000 direct assessments on the tax roll. The division now receives over 130 direct assessments to be placed on the tax roll each year. Over his career, Ray has apportioned billions of dollars in taxes and direct assessments to various taxing agencies and hundreds of millions of dollars in school bond payments. Ray's division was one of the first in the Auto Controller's office to reach out to their customers and ask how we could better serve them. He actively solicits their feedback from taxing agencies. Ray often receives calls from taxpayers asking questions about supplemental property taxes, payment deadlines, and direct assessments. He's always responded with patience and respect in dealing with these questions. Ray has managed and supervised all of the functions in the property tax division in the Auto Controller's office with integrity and skill. He has always been willing to go that extra mile for his customer. Ray's personal as well as his professional character are beyond reproach. In addition to his professional accomplishments, Ray is very active in his church community and has participated in the Stanislaus County Employee Mentor Program in Fairview School over several years now. The Academic Intervention Mentoring Program matches employee mentors with at-risk third-grade readers. Employee mentors participate on their own time, and Ray was recently named Stanislaus County Mentor of the Year. Ray and his staff remain focused on providing the best possible service to the taxpayers of the county. Please join me in thanking Ray for all of his 30 years of service to the citizens of Stanislaus County. Thank you.
Well, Ray, outside of myself and the two gentlemen in the front row, we're probably the four oldest faces in this room. I remember you when I first started here, and you were down at the bottom of the totem pole in terms of employment, and now you're at the top. And I think providing 30 years of service is marvelous. Hopefully, I don't know if this is your last year, but I doubt it. So I want to present on behalf of the board your 30-year anniversary document. And I'd like to know if, Wally, would you like to say a few words, either you or Bob? Because you've known him longer than anyone.
Thank you, Chairman Simon. I can remember when Ray came into the auditor's office. Bob Hubbard was the auditor controller at the time. I was his chief deputy at that time. And we interviewed Ray and discussed it and made a decision to bring Ray aboard. It's one of the better decisions that we've made. We're proud of it and want to congratulate you, Ray, for your service to the county.
Bob, do you want to say anything? You might as well. That shows you that calm, steady kindness allows you to go on forever and ever. Here's the two. You must be the longest serving county auditor I can remember.
Well, I can remember when Ray came in and we interviewed him, and we gave him some pretty tough questions to answer, and and he came across, and I think it was one of the better decisions that we made in our office to bring him aboard and put him in charge of all this legislation so that we didn't have to worry about it. Because in those days, as you can recall, we had a lot of problems with 13 and some of these others, and we're still having trouble with them as far as I'm concerned. But we'll leave that up to Ray to handle, because we're very proud of him and the job that he has done. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Ray, you want to say a few words, please?
First of all, I want to thank Larry for those that introduction, and Mr. Hubbard and Wally, thank you very much for your kind words. I'm going to refer to a little my cheat sheet here, because last time I did this, I did it kind of ad lib, but I'm not quite as sharp as I used to be, I guess. A little over 30 years, I was the fortunate victim of downsizing at John English Frozen Food Companies. At the time, I thought it was like the end of the world, but God had a better plan for me, but I wasn't able to be able to realize that unless I didn't have a job. And so I was very fortunate to leave that company and come to the county. It's been great since then. I can still remember the call at 7 o'clock in the morning the day after Thanksgiving in 1975. Yeah, we did actually work that day back then, from Mr. Hubbard. And he said, if you want the job, you better be here at 8 sharp. I made it, thank goodness, and it's been a good decision for me. I've really enjoyed working for the county. I think the best thing about working for the county is the people, the quality people. You can have the latest technology, and we do have good technology, but if you don't have good people, you don't have anything. When I was up here 5 years ago for the 25-year service award, I said I'd hope to work for 5 more years and we'd see beyond that, and it's the same today. I hope to work for another 5 years, but recently I've learned not to take that for granted, so I'm going to take every day that God gives me and give the best I can for the county. And I was so happy to have Bob and Wally here today. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge them and recognize them for the invaluable service that they have provided. In fact, I'd like to acknowledge all 5 of the auditors I've had the privilege of working for in my 30-year tenure: Robert Hubbard, Jack Newell, Wally Morrill, Byron Bystrom, and Larry Hawk. It's been a privilege working for these gentlemen. If you don't mind, Bob and Wally, if you just come up forward for just a second, and I'd like to come down there and let's get a picture, and I'd appreciate it very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the program, we have Assistant Sheriff Puttiff. We're honoring the 25 years of service for Robert Roten.
Good morning, Chairman Simon and distinguished board. It's my privilege to be here to talk a little bit about Sergeant Bob Roten. Bob started with us in August 1st of 1980. And has had a variety of different assignments. At that time, his classification was a jailer. That's what they called that back in that day. And that's where he started with the Stanislaus County family, and has had a variety of different assignments, some key pivotal assignments, and worked every aspect of the correctional facilities. He's been a field training officer, a classification officer, a transportation officer, operations deputy, which runs the overall operational aspects at each of the facilities. He's also been responsible for a lot of committee and chair work with the Employees Foundation, the reorganization team, the wards committee, and helped coordinate the annual sheriff's conference that we hosted a couple years ago. When I went through his file, there's a lot of commendations, a lot of letters from citizens and different customers that he's had in contact that have really lauded the way in which he represents the sheriff's department. What I wanted to let you know is that Bob's top-notch. He's one of our most tenured sergeants. He's going on 9 years as a sergeant. We have a younger workforce, specifically in supervision. We have a little bit younger workforce. And Bob's really stepped into the role of a mentor to most. His tenureship is one that we really, really value. Bob's professionalism and the demeanor in which he does his job day in and day out with what we call the internal and external customers, the inmates, in fact, are our customers. And I just really want to share with you and the audience how much I'd like to applaud the professionalism and his calming demeanor. There's a lot of situations that could easily get out of hand or turn into a bad state that I've seen him personally calm down, take charge of, and I really think that that speaks of his leadership role. And he's got a great attitude. I've had the privilege of working side by side with him. I've had the privilege of him working with me. His peers can say nothing but good things about him. The people that work with him say he's a phenomenal supervisor to work for. And I think that he just really typifies the theme that you're going to see and that I've heard here thus far is that people love this organization, and it's the organization that really makes us wonderful as a county family. So I would just, on behalf of the Sheriff's Department, just like to say how much we appreciate Bob's dedication and his service over the years and really are here to support and celebrate his accomplishments. Thank you so much.
So, Bob, I'm here to present to you your 25-year certificate. I've heard a lot of good things about you from the sheriff up to this point. He says he wants 5 more years out of you, so I don't know if you're pledged that again today or not. But in any event, it's my pleasure to give you your 25-year certificate. Would you like to say a few words?
Well, it's been quite a ride. I really enjoyed these 25 years with the department, although it's hard to believe it's been 25 years. I want to thank Assistant Sheriff Putta for the nice things he said about me. I kept trying to look behind me, like, is he talking to somebody behind me? But and I want to thank everybody who showed up here today. I mean, Brian Barker stuck around from the social workers group. I appreciate that. My wife, Melinda's flashing my eyes right now. Captain De Leon, Lieutenant Suarez, Sergeant Beltran, Lieutenant Harper, also Diane, our my favorite confidant back there. It's been quite a ride. After all the, of course, after all the things I heard that Ray is doing, I think I'd rather face a riot unarmed than deal with Proposition 13. I do expect to be around for possibly my 30 years, maybe a little bit more. I've got young children, and I really like my job, and I can't think of any reason why I would want to leave. Of course, that may change tomorrow. You never know. But I'm looking forward to the changes in the department. I work for 4 different sheriffs right now, and I'm looking forward to working for the 5th. And I may even outlast that one. I don't know, unless they throw me out. So anyway, thanks. I thank the board for this acknowledgement. It's kind of nice to have, you know, acknowledgement and remind me how old I am now. It's 25 years, but we'll see you at my 30.
Good. Thank you. The next 25-year service award is Ken Patterson for Margaret Garcia.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. It's really a pleasure to stand before you this morning and share some good things about one of the CSA's fine employees, Margaret Garcia, as you acknowledge her 25 years of service. I kept hearing strong things and sensing strong things about Margaret, and you wonder, did CSA create that in her, or is there something greater at work here? And I dug a little bit and found out that she's the oldest daughter of a family of 10, which tells me that she's been structuring things, training, leading people for quite some time. Margaret's maiden name is Michelina, and she comes from, a well-known family in the Patterson area. Margaret began work with Community Service Agency in November of 1980, and she went through all of the promotional steps, as first as eligibility worker 1, 2, 3, and then supervisor. And for the last 6 to 7 years, she has been a family services supervisor in our training unit. And I just want to explain quickly what significance that is. Probably the single largest classification of county employees is family service specialists, and those are the people who serve most of the customers at Community Services Agency. So Margaret is part of the group that trains these new rookie family service specialists in not only how to use the information system, but how to accurately determine eligibility for food stamps, for Medi-Cal, for temporary cash assistance, and for child care programs. And while she's doing that, she screens them to make sure that they have the people skills and the compassion and the understanding of human difficulties and problems that they can communicate with these customers. And she and her colleagues consistently turn out a great group of trainees that we're able to put right to work and use well within CSA. Margaret's personnel file is just filled with notable achievements from people like Dennis Pankratz, from Jerry Cavanis, and from Jeff Jew. And Jeff's recent writings before his retirement expressed thanks to Margaret for her work in setting up cultural diversity awareness training at Community Services Agency. Her colleagues say that she's very thoughtful, she has an eye for detail, and she always focuses on the positives and on the strengths. And they say that she has a calming influence in any situation, and that when there's disagreement or tension, that she helps everyone see the other person's point of view. And I suspect that she might have had to referee a few issues with her 6 younger brothers, and maybe some of that training in that family brought that into CSA, because she's really appreciated for that. And in her community involvement, she's church secretary to the pastoral council, and she has served on the St. Anthony Portuguese Celebration Committee several times. So, Margaret, we appreciate that. We also appreciate the fact that when there's slack times at Community Services Agency, that you've been known and coaxed into teaching others how to hula. And thank you for 25 years of service. Appreciate that.
Well, Margaret, I don't have a happy face, and you're always smiling. So if you can continue to do that for another 5 years, then you must enjoy your job. So we are appreciative of your 25 years service, and would like to hand this to you. And if you care to say a few words, why, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Thank you very much. This is really an honor. Thank you to the Board of Supervisors for the recognition, and to the people of Stanislaus County. It's been a real pleasure to serve you. And I work for a great agency, the Community Services Agency. It's well recognized through the state and through the United States. But I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard, I'm sure. So I work with a great group of people, and I'm usually not a public speaker, so this has been a real challenge for me right now. But thank you very much. I just want to thank everyone.
Next on our agenda is a public comment period. I have no requests, so if there's anyone in the audience who's here to speak on any item that's not on the agenda, now is the time you can step to the podium and do so. Hearing none, then we'll turn to the consent calendar. Anyone need to remove any item from the consent calendar? And if not, we need a motion.
Also move.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Next item is item number 11. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, I am happy to bring to you today the
presentation and recommendations on our Series 2006 Stanislaus County Tobacco Bond. The tobacco market has, in the last several months, changed fairly dramatically, and we have what we believe to be a fairly small window of opportunity to leverage our future tobacco proceeds, tobacco settlement revenue proceeds, by doing a bond issue today. In summary, I'll start with the summary and then I'll go through the presentation. In summary, the net proceeds of our expected tobacco revenue from 2023 to 2040 are about $170 million, which represents a discount rate of which, with the financing we're proposing, represents a discount rate of approximately 6.8%. Why this is important in leading into the discussion is it underscores the, I think, very significant opportunity we have today to lock in the funding for our tobacco revenue. We know that that this revenue stream is a complex revenue stream with a number of factors that could affect our ability to get it in the future. And so we're excited at this prospect, and we've moved this matter forward as expeditiously as possible. Eileen, would you please? On January 17, 2006, the board authorized the Chief Executive Officer and Debt Advisory Committee to proceed in evaluating the securitization of tobacco settlement revenues through the refunding and or restructuring of tobacco bonds. The county did in 2002 issue $67.3 million in tobacco bonds, which have a final stated maturity of 2043 and a final expected maturity of 2022 based on a turbo redemption model, which is an advanced redemption model based on current tobacco settlement revenue forecasts. The county can generate significant additional upfront proceeds by either one, refunding and restructuring the 2002 bonds, or two, through the standalone issuance of subordinate lien tobacco bonds, and that would occur without refunding the 2002 bonds. Both approaches extend the final stated maturity of the county's tobacco bonds until 2055, with the expected turbo redemption maturity to 2044. The 11-year difference is the difference between what the bondholders would see at 2055 and when, based on our analysis of and outside independent analyses of the revenue stream, when the bonds would actually be paid, which would be 2044. Subordinate lien tobacco bonds are paid only after all of the 2002 bonds have been paid in full. We provided you a table to show the net proceeds to the county under two possible bond structures. The scenario one bond structure does include a proposal to refund or restructure the 2002 bonds, as well as issuing the capital appreciation bonds, or CABs. Net proceeds resulting from that would be $32.6 million. Scenario two would be an issuance of only the subordinate bonds, and we're estimating right now, based on current market conditions, proceeds of up to $34 million. On February 13th, the Debt Advisory Committee recommended Scenario 2, and bond documents have been drafted accordingly. As with the 2002 bonds, the proceeds would be placed in a new endowment fund for capital expenditures and limited to capital-only items. The new endowment is separate and in addition to the 2002 bond endowment. Interest earnings from the fund would, as it was the case with the 2002 bonds, be discretionary revenue to the county. We've set certain limits and conditions on this particular issue, and recognizing that there are some significant market fluctuations and changes, and those limits that we have in the resolution would establish a par amount or cash back to the county not less than $25 million, with interest costs on the bonds no greater than 9%. We've established, as I'd indicated, a very aggressive financing schedule with you hearing this matter today. The week of March 13th, would be a meeting of the California County Tobacco Securitization Agency and the completion of our financing documents. Week of March 20th, pricing and sale of the bond subject to market conditions, and we're anticipating we would be in the market and complete the transaction the week of March 27th. What we're asking you today is to approve the resolution of the Board of Supervisors regarding the issuance by the California County Tobacco Securitization Agency of subordinate bonds or refunding bonds for the benefit of Stanislaus County. We're further requesting authorization of the execution and delivery of or approval of certain documents in connection with the subordinate bonds or refunding bonds, including the preliminary offering circular, subordinate indenture, first amendment to the secured loan agreement, first amendment to the indenture, subordinate secured loan agreement, contract of purchase, and continuing disclosure certificate. And finally, we're asking today that you reappoint directors of the Stanislaus County Tobacco Funding Corporation. There are three members, two of which are currently seated, and we're asking their appointment. The third position is currently vacant. We'll be looking for a replacement for that position. The two members are Gordon Ford and Larry Haw, both directors. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Okay, thank you. Does any board member have any questions? Seeing none, then there are three staff recommendations. So we need a motion for those three staff recommendations.
Also move.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is C5, George Stillman, approval to accept status report on reorganization of building permit.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, George Stillman, Public Works Director, and good morning. About two and a half months ago, the board approved a reorganization of our building permit function. As a part of that approval, the board asked us to come back with a status report in about 60 days, and this is that status report. I think probably the most important element of the entire plan was staffing. It's a lot of the items that we wanted to do require people to do them. And as soon as we received board approval, we immediately started recruiting. We held interviews this week. We will be holding some interviews next week, and it's our expectation that we will have the entire, we will be staffed up in 2 to 3 weeks. And that will allow us to proceed with a lot of the programs we have not been able to proceed into yet. We had a series of new systems, and these were just some basic process changes. The way we check plans in the past has been consecutively. We go to A to B to C to D. We're now changing that where we're going to be doing it in parallel, where there's no reason we can't start checking multiple plans at the same time. Taking a look at the ramifications of that, this is a process chart on how we used to do the permit issuance function. Lots and lots of steps. I think just making your way through this chart is going to require many weeks of time, and we're not going to make any meaningful improvements until that chart changes. So we've applied the checking in parallel concept to it, and this is the one we will be working under. Essentially, you receive the same amount of work, it's just being done in parallel as opposed to being consecutive. Another issue we have is the one-stop shop. Everyone claims to have a one-stop shop, including Stanislaus County. Unfortunately, very few of them that are really out there. But we are going to put one into place. We're going to have all of the resources at the counter that a developer needs to get a permit processed. We're staffing up to do it, which is a lot of what the board approved in the past. And one of the, examples is that all of these districts are ones that developers are going to have to contact if they're doing work or they want to do building within these areas. Under our one stop, all of these people have been notified that we would like to collect their fees and issue their permits at our counter. And so far, the response to that has been very good. And we anticipate to have this in place fairly shortly as part of the one-stop process. As another part of the process, we have what we're calling over-the-counter permits. These are relatively simple things. Best example, say, a swimming pool. People do lots of them. They're not that complicated. There's no real reason that they have to go through a very extensive plan review and checking process. So we're listing these as over-the-counter, and what it means is that essentially you get a permit when you come. In most cases, they usually take about an hour, and you can leave with it. And there will be exceptions to that, of course, but for most of them, they really should work that way because they are not that complicated. Another big one, and this is one we've talked about, I think, at every meeting, has been transferring plans electronically over the Internet. We are at the point now where we can do it. And we have some debugging left to do in the systems. We need to make it a little more user-friendly. But the way it's being set up is the developer will send the plans electronically to development services over the Internet. They'll be distributed here by those or to those organizations that have plan checking responsibilities. All comments will then come back to development services. They'll be collected, checked for conflict, and then sent back to the developer to change again over the Internet. A lot of folks are going to want paper for a while. It's something hard to get used to. But you won't need paper plans except for the final approved plans that have to be approved and sealed and signed. All of the rest of the activity can take place without paper. You can make the changes on your screen. The changes would go back to development services, and then they'll be available for the developer. This way, the developer can make his or her changes 24/7, any time of the day or night. They can access their plans anywhere that they really want to, as long as they're an authorized user. And I guess taken to an extreme, you really wouldn't have to even visit us at our office, that everything can be handled this way through the Internet. In addition to plans, we can handle any of the documents that have been digitized. I think this is what most people in the private sector have been doing for a long time, and it's nice for us to be able to catch up to them. I say it's being debugged now, and I think it's a product we will be able to offer very shortly. Another one that got a lot of interest from the development community is tenant improvements. And a shell building is essentially just the exterior walls of a building that a lot of developers will not know who is going to be a tenant to move into their building. So they build a shell, they build the exterior walls, they wait for the tenant or proposed tenant to come in, and then they modify that building by doing all the interior improvements. Traditionally, there's been a lot of controversy over how much plan checking that you had to have before you could make those interior improvements. What we're doing now is that the shell building plans themselves will show the acceptable uses within that building. And as long as you put in one of those uses, you'll essentially have an over-the-counter permit. If you put in a use that is not on that list, then you're going to have to go back through more or less our regular plan checking process. And so that's one that will handle a lot of the we've got a lot of comments on tenant improvements. Developers had also requested a private plan check opportunity. Pacific Plan Review is ready. They've taken some already. But that is a request that we had. And the last items here, they're not really a part of the presentation. But our present tracking system really does no longer meets our needs. See, selection committee was formed. The county's processes were followed. And they're going to be coming back with a recommendation to the board on some tracking software in the next 2 to 3 weeks. What we're getting from these is the status of any project at any time through the Internet. Everything will have barcodes. We'll have form letters to pop up automatically that make certain that you have what you need when you need it. Fee calculations, if we're collecting fees for Daenerys School District, this will be able to do those calculations and build them out so that we get accurate numbers and don't have mistakes or misunderstandings on what these charges should be. Fire is a very important element of what we do. They're a critical player in the one-stop permitting system. And fire supports the reorg and our one-stop process. Fire is going to have, they need all the technology that they can for their future. And we will make available to them everything we can in the way of technology to help. Fire's conducted an initial study that shows the need for one new full-time plan checker and then one half full-time a new clerical position. And they will be taking their program to the board shortly for the board approval. And the last one just kind of tags along in Ceres. The county has had a long-term contract with Ceres where we would do essentially their inspection services. We have changed that now to where they are paying our actual cost instead of our flat rate. And that has been approved by the City Council. And that is our very brief update, and we'd be glad to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, George. Any board member have a comment?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I was on our Exhibit B, which is Exhibit A in your presentation. You list various school districts. Does this mean that the person applying for the permit to build something can pay the school fees at the county counter,
yes,
rather
sir.
Than having to go to the school district?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, that's be a big improvement there. I had to remodel one time and had to take a trip in the series to pay my fee for the school. Not all the school districts are on here, though, as yet, are they?
And we expect the list to grow. I think some of the folks that are on there probably have so little activity. We'll find a different way to handle those, too. But we tried to capture all of them, and I'm sure that some will come into the system later.
Okay, well, that will be a big improvement.
Okay, any other comments? If not, then we need a motion to accept the status report.
Also move.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. Correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Riverbank Oil Transfer requesting comments regarding their modification to their Class 1 permit with the California Environmental Protection Agency.
We'll refer this to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from Oakdale Rural Fire District requesting an increase in their advance of anticipated revenue for fiscal year 2005-06.
We refer this to the Auditor Controller.
This board has received the second Williams Settlement Report from the Stanislaus County Office of Education.
We acknowledge receipt of this information.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Officer, Risk Management Division. Any board member have a report?
I would like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman. Every week I receive one or two calls about the sewer hookups for the Shackelford area. And this has been very frustrating to me because we just cannot seem to get these pipes inspected in order to hook up the residents of this area. This project has been done for a better part of a year, and it still does not seem to be ready to go. I've been to the city of Modesto three times, and they tell me that there might be a problem, and they're working on it, and I just keep getting the runaround. And I really don't blame the county for the delays, but I really would like to see some pressure put on the city of Modesto to get the final approval to hook up for the sewer systems. As I'm constantly getting calls about it, and I just am unable to get the city to move on this.
Mr. Selman and I did meet on this specific issue yesterday afternoon, and it developed a framework for a game plan to see if we can get some definitive answers by the end of this week. Barring that, at least we'll have an update for you at that time.
Okay, well, you're doing better than I am then if you get something at the end of the week. I've been trying for months.
Any other board member have a report? Legislative, fiscal, and management report.
Just a quick note or comment. The Stanislaus County contingent will be traveling to Washington, D.C. next week to work on specific federal legislation. It will include a number of representatives of cities, the county, and the alliance, as well as STANCOG representatives to address some of the issues that that the county and the cities and the community are facing these days.
Okay, thank you. No announcements. We're now going to adjourn to a closed session, and the county council will define this for us.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, there are three items that the board will adjourn into closed session. The first is a conference with labor negotiator. Mr. Robinson will be the county negotiator. The organization is the Supervisors and Management Association of the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office. That's pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.5F. The second item is a conference with legal counsel concerned anticipated litigation. There are facts that have arisen which supports One matter that is a significant exposure to litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 549.54.5C. And the third and final matter is a performance evaluation. The title is the county's chief executive officer pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.5E, and there could possibly be an announcement after closed session.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.
Door before my computer closed off.